Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Take Off with John Clark, presented by Rivers Casino. And we are here in the sun of Clearwater, Florida, the Phillies' first full squad workout here at spring training. And you know, they have gotten so close the last 2 years, they want to close the deal. And I'm told in the team meeting with the entire team, the owner, John Middleton, he told the team the same thing he told Ryan Howard 15 years ago. Get that bleeping trophy back. John told the team, it is time. And he didn't just mention one. He wants to win multiple World Series. And JT Realmuto told me he mentioned the word dynasty. Well, the Phillies have all the pieces to do it. They've gotten close the last couple years. They say they're hungry. And they have everybody here ready to go. Remember, Bryce Harper was hurt last year. He didn't come back for the first month and a half or 2 months of the season. And they had some of their new guys, Trey Turner and Taijuan Walker. They had to go to the WBC. Everybody is here. Everybody's ready to go. So enjoy these conversations with Phillies president Dave Dombrowski, Phillies second baseman Bryson Stott, and starting pitcher Taijuan Walker. They are all hungry. All right, we are here with Phillies president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, and this is a beautiful view out here in Clearwater, isn't it?
It is a beautiful view. It's one you look forward to seeing every single day. And whenever I have my Zoom calls here and the background is there, everybody will always tell me, you win the award for the nicest background anywhere, because everybody's always looking at it and just in a majestic perspective of seeing a baseball stadium in spring training.
They get a little jealous. They want to be here.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and I know you can't wait to see your team out here on the field. And it's interesting because a lot of people in Philly say, well, I wanted to see the Phillies do something more. But you already have all these great players, and maybe it's run it back kind of thing. Do you feel that it's beneficial to bring back the same team? And you're getting some guys here for the entire season, like Bryce Harper, and some guys were at the WBC, but now they're all going to be together coming out of the gate. Do you think that that's beneficial?
Well, I think it's beneficial if you have a good team.
Yeah.
I do think we have a good team. And we don't have gaping holes on our club. Once we signed Aaron Nolan, I know people kind of take that for granted. That was done in November, and he was part of the club last year, even though he was a free agent. You're in a position where when you start looking at the ball club, well, almost every spot is filled, especially if you're going to give the young players an opportunity, which I do think we need to do because we have some very talented youngsters. But when you start looking at the club all in all, the drawing power itself without any major additions, when you start talking about people like Harper and Turner and Schwarber and Realmuto and Wheeler and Nola, you're talking about some of the best players that people come to see play anywhere in the game. So we have a good club, and I'm very excited to get them out here on the field and watch them play.
Yeah, and Trey Turner, obviously, first year in Philly, you know, took a little while to get comfortable with everything. It's not going away to the WBC this year. How much more comfortable do you think he'll be from the get-go?
I think he'll be a lot more comfortable. And it kind of comes with the territory of almost any major free agent you sign or even players you acquire in trades. When they have to make that transition and there's a lot of focus on them, they still like to get comfortable in an environment. Everybody's new. They don't know the situation, don't know where to go, don't know the coaching staff, don't know the teammates. Usually that second year, that's a much more comfortable feeling. For example, today we're just sitting downstairs in the clubhouse in the coach's office and talking. I said, gee, because I haven't seen Trey so far. I know he's here. So I hear Trey Turner's here. And they said, oh, gosh, he was so good in the drills today. He just looked outstanding over the last couple of days. So a little different even tone than last year, because here's a new guy coming in and he's trying to make a make a presentation to everybody and be in that position. So the comfort zone is much more important. I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to have a superb year for us.
And he was pretty honest with us yesterday about his defense. He said he was brutal last year. And there's some adjustments I believe he's making with your coaches and stuff like that. Rob Thompson, like you just said he looked great defensively with the adjustments. What kind of adjustments are there to help him get better defensively?
Well, it's some that he would work with Bobby Dickerson, of course, on. And Larry Bowe is out here during spring training, too, so he was on the field with him. But it's just an overall matter of how he goes about catching the ball and approaching the ball and his ready position and set position. So things, and I think what's always difficult, it's the same way the coach is getting to know the player last year. So they don't know one another. And you're feeling your way and how you talk about things. And Trey's a very intelligent individual, too, and, of course, a very good player. So sometimes you're not as receptive to suggestions at that particular point. And at this time, that's all through. They're over that. They know one another. So making the little type of adjustments and how he might go after a ball in his preparation in that regard, how he picks a ball, I think those are things that will come much easier for them to do this year.
All right, and you had another addition. You're constantly building with this club and adding to this club. What does Whit Merrifield bring to the Phillies, and why was he so attractive to you?
Well, we're thrilled to have him on board because, for us, it's a situation where he fits the needs of our club. It's been a long process for us because we haven't had guaranteed playing time for really any individual because of the youth on our club and trying to give him an opportunity and positional player-wise with Rojas. But for us, with a guy like Whit Merrifield, he's a good player, first of all. He can play a variety of positions. Being a right-hand hitter, his really two best positions are second base and left field. And if Rojas makes it, that means Marsh is playing left field. And not that we're looking, there are no type of platoon per se situations. But normally, if you're going to rest Stott or you're going to rest Marsh, it's going to be versus a tough left-hander. And you have a guy like Merrifield that will play second base and left field. He's a winner. And I think for a club that's a good club like ours, when you can add veteran people to your bench that you know are not going to crumble under tough situations, he'll play hard, he'll play right, adds a speed dimension. I think he's just the right guy for our club to bring in and add to us.
And is it also a little insurance if Johan Rojas isn't able to stay above water hitting-wise?
It does protect us in that regard. I have actually felt more comfortable than most that if we had Pache out there versus left-hand pitching, that he would be fine because he's such an outstanding defensive player too. But in Merrifield's case, he definitely brings more offense in that situation. So it does protect us a little bit. And not only if he doesn't make it, but if we have injuries, he can protect us in a lot of different positions.
And Johan Rojas, you're talking about a young, exciting player and defensively absolutely amazing. Obviously, offensively in the postseason, it was not what anybody wanted to see. He told us that he was basically hitting all offseason. What can be done with him getting better offensively, getting into a comfort zone and adjustments there?
Well, I think his situation is pretty simple in a couple of ways, and he still has to achieve that. First of all, when he came up last year, his defense was outstanding. We knew that. We are just keep looking to keep his head above water. When we were talking about him coming up, I said, can we keep his head above water rather than going out and make a major acquisition because how he plays defense in center field? And the feeling was, yes, we can do that. He works hard. He's got speed. He can bunt. He didn't bunt very well last year, but even if it hits the ball on the ground softly, he can beat it out. So that was our goal last year. Well, the added experience that he faced. That postseason, it's tough. You're facing good people, got in a slump. They took advantage of him. But he's in a position where with the extra just experience of being at the big league level, he did make some adjustments, and we knew he would need to make some adjustments. You'll see it when he goes out on the field on where he's holding his bat and his load in that regard. Because surprising when people see him, they don't realize how much power he has. Now, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a guy that hits 25 home runs this year, but he can drive the ball from gap to gap and use his speed, and I think he'll bunt better. So I think the natural progression of the experience that he's gained at this point with the added coaching now that they've seen his swing, I think that will lead him with his work ethic to just be a better overall hitter.
And we talk about comfort. Alec Bohm, we were talking to him, and this year he pretty much can be third baseman. Bryce is going to be at first base. How important do you think that is, just him knowing every day that he's going to be there?
Well, I think it's important for Alec, and I think it's a situation for him. He did us really a favor as an organization last year, and I don't know that he'll never go to first base, but I think basically he's our third baseman day in and day out. But I think the ability to be in a position where he's going to be playing there every single day. And I also just think that in his situation now with the experience he's gained, he has now become a major leaguer in his own mind and a good major leaguer. So I think he has settled in that regard. And that's why he has growth. When you talk about our young players, I think he'll continue to drive in runs, drive the ball. I think he'll hit the ball with even more power. The one thing he does at an exceptional level right now, which a lot of people can't do, is drive in a run. He has the good ability to do that. So I think Bohm will, again, be another guy that's much more comfortable. He fits in here. He's in the prime of his career going into there. And I look for him having a big year for us.
And Zach Wheeler, you've said it's a priority to get him re-signed just like you did with Aaron Nola. And it's interesting because some guys say, I don't want to talk about a contract during the season. But he's like, that doesn't really bother me. That's pretty amazing about Zach Wheeler. Nothing bothers him. But do you think you can get something done with him? Are you confident that you can get something done with him in the short term before the season, maybe?
Well, the way I would describe it is I'm hopeful. How's that? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really, it's hard to put a level one way or the other on those type of things. And so really don't usually say much about contract negotiations publicly. But we have acknowledged that we'd like to get this done. This is a priority for, and it really is hard to know because I've been in a position where when you're talking to somebody, you think you're going to get a deal done and it breaks apart. And sometimes you don't think you're going to get it done. And all of a sudden it comes together. So I'm optimistic and hopeful. And I hope that Zach Wheeler is a Philadelphia Philly for a long time.
You know, like you said, a lot of people took it for granted that Aaron Nola would get re-signed, but that is a huge contract. And was there really a worry that he could go to the Braves? I mean, did that really enter the conversation?
Sure, it worried me. I will say it worried me a great deal. And not that he couldn't have gone somewhere other places, too. But when you start talking about what you're looking to have, if you're a pitcher like Aaron, you're looking for a good club. You're looking for a club that's on the East Coast for him. He's from the East Coast, somewhere that trains in Florida. He's comfortable in the setting like there. Atlanta, of course, great club. They support their players well, too. So, sure, I was not only worried about him going anywhere, but that would be a club I definitely didn't want him to go by any means. And so when he agreed that he wanted to come back, it was not only did we want him back a great deal, of course, because he's such a good pitcher and he's a Philly through and through. He's the type of guy you build your organization around. But it was also a nice relief to not have him go to the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah. And by the way, it's fascinating that the Braves, I believe, have finished 14 games ahead of the Phillies the last 2 years. But in the playoffs, it's the Phillies advancing. How wild is the playoffs? Because you set up a club to win, but the playoffs, is it a crapshoot?
No, I've never described it as a crapshoot myself. I think that sometimes you need to be fortunate during that time period. There's no question because a break here or a break there can make a difference, right? Even last year, you look at us when we're in Arizona and we're ahead of Arizona 5-2 and we lose that game. Well, you win that game, you're going to the World Series. That's how close it can be like that. So every little thing can make a lot more in that regard. But no, I don't think it's a crapshoot. And I also think that there's a way that clubs can excel for the long season and maybe aren't quite as good for the playoffs and vice versa. Now, we all go out there all year long trying to win our division. That's going to be our goal. And there's an advantage if you're not playing those first three games, because when you go into those three games, those make me nervous. Yeah. Because you talk about a seven-game series or a five-game series, but a three-game series, anything can happen. Yeah. A bloop hit here, a bloop hit there. But the reality is that sometimes it can make a difference when you have guys like Wheeler and Nola at the top of your rotation, and Ranger Suarez has been outstanding in the postseason. You can win a short series when you have that type of pitching much more than maybe over a 162-game season where you're not pitching those guys quite as much or you give them some extra rest. So you can have a different type of club in the postseason than you do have during the regular season.
And obviously you are building the club for postseason.
Well, you're building it. Now, again, you like to win every game you play, so you're never looking for that. But sometimes you give during the regular season to know that you're going to be more prepared for the postseason. But as we can see, there's still no guarantees, because if there were, you would, no matter how you plan, you'd win all the time. Yeah. But it's still very difficult to do that. But I do think that there is planning in that regard, because sometimes, remember Jim Leland always used to tell me this when we were together a long time ago. So he said, it's not always the best club in the postseason. It's the healthiest club in the postseason. So that can make a difference.
And that's a great segue, because I was going to ask you about the health of Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. One of the things Zach said was, since you have come here, there's been changes and things done to get them to post for all their starts, to help them with their health. And you've had Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola basically almost all the time. I don't know if you can tell us specifically what you're doing to help out, but what are some of the things that keep these guys healthy?
Well, there's a lot that's involved with that, and still you have to be fortunate, because anything can happen anytime. Somebody can walk off a curb and twist their ankle, right, and they're out, and so you never know how that goes. But I think it really comes down to, it's a combination of factor and an integration of many different people and departments working together. It starts with the pitchers themselves and the work ethic that they have. It goes through the manager and the pitching coach that handles them a certain way, that doesn't overuse them, that gets to know them, that can work with them on their mechanics. It involves the training staff a great deal. They work with them, and they work on the particular muscular aspects that they need at times to get them ready. The conditioning staff the same way from that perspective. And it's all of them working together. I don't think there's any magic secrets here, nutrition aspect of it. So all of that goes in together. And I think we have a very good system that's led by the staff here and put together. But I'm sure other clubs are trying to do the same thing. I tip my cap to the individuals that we have in the organization and their work ethic and knowledge. But you also have to be a little bit fortunate at times, too.
A couple final questions for you. If we could look back at just how wild a season Kyle Schwarber had. Jason Stark had a great article about him being maybe the most unique leadoff hitter in the history of baseball. With the strikeouts that he had, I think he led baseball in strikeouts. But the walks, he had all the walks. And maybe his average was below 200. But should we really on the TV screen, or should we pay a lot more attention to the on-base percentage than the actual average? I mean, because a walk does count the same as a single.
Yes. And I do think, I mean, you're talking about a unique individual, right? Yeah. I mean, when you talk about Kyle Schwarber, I think he's one of maybe the only guy in history that's done what he's done, from home runs and walks and strikeouts. But I think if you're talking about a leadoff hitter, I do think the on-base percentage is more important than the batting average. Now, some positions, that not necessarily so, but if you're talking about somebody that's hitting the top of the order, you want them to get on base. Now, Kyle also has a unique ability to hit the ball at the ballpark, like not much hit, many leadoff hitters do. But we've been very efficient and very good when he's let off for us. He's done a good job. And I know people can get frustrated because he doesn't like to strike out as much as he strikes out. He's talked about, and he's talked to me that, hey, there's some things I'm going to try to do to cut it down, because he has a good, nice, short swing, but sometimes it gets rotational and gets out of his natural tendencies to hit. But I do think if you're talking about a leadoff hitter, on-base percentage is much more important than batting average.
Do you want Kyle leading off, or do you want Trey Turner leading off? Was Trey signed to lead off?
Well, he wasn't necessarily signed to lead off, but signed to hit at the top of our order, wherever the manager hits him. And the one thing he brings that Kyle doesn't is speed. But we have a club, we were just talking about it, Rojas makes the club. We have a very good club from a speed perspective and a defensive perspective. So it's a lot different than the traditional, let's say, powerhouse, power hitting clubs at the Phillies and some other organizations I've been with. But to me, however it fits, the way I would answer it is, whichever person hits leadoff, it's the one that I hope we win the most games with him hitting leadoff. So, and that's one I leave up to Rob Thompson. He does a lot of work on that and focuses on it. So that's his decision, and we'll live with it because he does a good job for us.
Yeah. Final question for you. Do you guys study, I'm sure you do, look into, okay, maybe we haven't gotten out of the gate as quickly in April and May, and then last year you switched to Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot, boom, take off again like you did the year before with the managerial change. Is there any rhyme or reason that you can pinpoint why that happens?
Well, it's been a couple of years in a row here that we haven't done that. And we have spent some time focused on it and talked to Rob Thompson right after the season. He has had meeting with the coaching staff. And part of it, I mean, We work very hard and prepare very hard and do drills very hard. But there are some things that we've looked ourselves to see if we can be better. I think one of them, last year was, such an unusual year because with the WBC, and even though I'm an advocate of the WBC, it didn't serve us well because three of our hitters didn't get enough at-bats to be ready. Hoskins gets hurt right before opening day. Bryce Harper is not in the lineup. Walker and Suarez are not as ready as they would be because of that. Derek Hall gets hurt right away, and we felt good about Derek helping us at first base. So there were a lot of factors last year for us not getting off quickly. So I do think that all of those should normally just even out for us in a natural fashion. But I think there's some things that we've talked about, okay, maybe we need to focus on this to come out of the gate a little bit quicker. Maybe the guys need a few more at-bats. Maybe they need a few more innings here. I think at the end of the spring, Rob Thompson hopes to manage those last games more like a regular season game than he would a spring training type of game. Last year, he couldn't do that because our guys weren't ready to do that. So there are some things we can address, and hopefully it will help us get out of the gate quickly.
Well, we wish you the best this year.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Can't wait to see the team on this field.
Me either. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, celebrity cook Steve Martorano is bringing his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly, where it started. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. So make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. I've been to the one in Fort Lauderdale. I'm glad it's back in Philly.
All right, we are joined by Bryson Stott, and welcome back. And we saw you show up. We saw your Instagram post. You arrived. You had a little spittle or something, or maybe a little throw up on you.
Yeah, she's been good, but it's a good problem to have. So,
how has life changed for you since having a little one?
It's not me and my wife anymore. I mean, it's all around her, and my wife works out all the time, and she just can't wait to get home to see her. And it's just, you never thought you could love someone so much until you have your own kids. So,
what's the best advice you've maybe gotten from a teammate? Because you have a lot of teammates now who are having kids, having more kids.
Like I said, like your whole world changes. You can't, I mean, you think you love something so much, and then you have a little one come into the world, and you're responsible for a human life, and I think it's awesome.
Pretty wild for you. I think I talked to you after one of the celebrations. You had Aaron Nola and Reese Hoskins, who waited almost 10 years, whatever it was, 8 or 9 years to get to the playoffs. First 2 years in the majors, you're in the World Series and NLCS. Is that kind of like your expectation now because you jumped right into this?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't here for those ruts that they were in, and just seeing how much it meant to Nola and Reese and everybody that was here through those times, and to finally get there and my first year going all the way to the World Series, and last year being a couple hits, a couple outs away from going back in two times in 2 years is crazy to think about. And you come to camp and you want to make the playoffs, and it's just a whole different world. Once you hear Red October, you know it's going to be crazy, it's going to be loud, and you want to do everything you can to make that happen. So,
and it's kind of weird not having Reese here. What are you going to miss most about Reese?
Just him as a person. He was my locker buddy for the 2 years, and just even last year he's hurt and he was there as much as he could be, and just uplifting everybody and letting everyone know that he's there, and if they need him, he's always going to be there. And him and his wife are two of the better people you can meet, and I couldn't be more happy for them and him getting this opportunity, and I wish him all the best. So,
this team has been so close, World Series and last year, Game 6 and Game 7 at home. Do you think there was anything about feeling the pressure, the expectation, you know, having the home games in front of such a raucous crowd and getting to the World Series? Was there anything that, I don't know, became too much or anything?
No. We know going home what we're gonna get, and I think the teams know that, and it's loud, it's crazy, and we just, like I said, came up a couple hits, a couple outs, a couple plays And it's baseball. You're not going to do it every year. And you get home and you look back and say, what if I did this? What if I did that? What if we did this? But in the moment, it's still baseball, and you got to play the game that's on the field. And obviously all the fans yelling is in our favor, and we just didn't get it done. So
what does it mean to you guys when you see ownership re-signing Aaron Nola, and you're basically running it back with basically the same team with a lot of great players? What does it mean to have that support, and then to go into this year, everybody's going to be there from the get-go. Bryce is going to be there, and there's no World Baseball Classic where guys are leaving. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means a lot. I think Topper said it. It's somebody asked if we're better this year, and I think he said it perfect. We have a healthy Bryce. We have Ranger. We have Taiwan. All our USA guys not playing. I don't think the WBC is an issue, but just having 6 weeks with Trey on the half field and kind of perfecting everything that we want of each other is huge. And we didn't have that last year. We didn't have Bryce for the first little bit. So I think we're in a better health state. And yeah, you have everybody coming back from the last two runs, and everybody knows what it takes to get there, and just got to finish the job this time. So
you have worked really hard on your defense, and Gold Glove finalist moving over to second base. Do you set that as a goal, to be a Gold Glover?
I mean, you always think about it. You never want to go out and say, I need this award. I need this award. It's a you award. Obviously the big picture is something like this. And you play your game, and the balls come to you, and you catch them and get them out, and your team's playing good, you're playing good, everything at the end will kind of come. It's hard to set out certain things. Obviously, you have goals, and winning a Gold Glove is awesome, and it's a goal of mine, but obviously the big trophy at the end of the year is the most important one. So,
some of your coaches and people have said you didn't come into the majors entitled, and you know, you make the switch to second base, and you worked your butt off to do it. Where do you think that mentality came from? Because some guys do come into the majors like, hey, I'm here, it's a first-round pick, you know, and but you're not entitled.
Yeah, I think it's just having – my brother's older than me, and he played with a lot of first-round guys, and is friends with a lot of people that have played in the major leagues, and they always just told me the second you get drafted, yeah, you're a first-rounder, and then you come to Florida or spring training, and you're a minor leaguer like everyone else. I think that's where I kind of got it from. And then you step in a big league clubhouse, and it's you see the guys that have been in the league for 10, 11 years and what they went through to get there. And I think it's just everyone pulling on the same end of the rope, especially on this team. It's all about the team. It's, like I said, the personal awards come after the team. And I think having this type of clubhouse, obviously you want that, and it really helps you coming up. So,
and it's got to be pretty amazing when you come up to the majors and you've got Bryce Harper, you've got Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner now, Nick Castellanos, and you've got all these great hitters. Is there something that you've kind of taken from them and learned from them?
Yeah, just kind of their work before the game. You see everything on the field. You never see anything behind the scenes until you play with them. So, me for Bryce, I've seen his kind of routine for a long time, but I think even for me in college, I would take my three rounds of BP and then I'd be ready for the game. But here you can't do that. You got to really look at scouting reports and really look how the pitcher attacks certain hitters, and or just where I hit in the lineup. I have two lefties in front of me that obviously weigh different types of hitters than I am, but you still see kind of their go-to strike pitch for lefty. You see their out pitch for lefty. So just kind of paying attention more to the game than I did in high school and in college has really, really helped. So,
and we've seen how you have a great eye at the plate, two-strike hitter and all that. When you look at your season, are there certain things here and there that you're still looking to get better at and work on? And what have you kind of set as a goal with those things?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say throw away at bats because I mean, obviously throughout the course of the year, you throw away some, but I think I kind of got out of the strike zone a little bit, instead of taking my walks in certain situations, and just kind of being more aware that maybe they are pitching around you at a certain point. Just kind of being more mindful of that. And I think that I know I could reach certain pitches and I want to swing at them. So it's less about me not knowing the strike zone, but it's more of me knowing that I could hit a certain pitch, even if it's a ball. So kind of toning that maybe in a little bit, and not trying to hit everything and take the walks when they're given. So
a couple of guys, we were asking what their favorite moment of last season was, or where they really just had goosebumps, and they talked about your moment, your walk-up music's playing, and then you hit a grand slam, and the video is amazing when you just hear the crowd. What were you experiencing in that moment, and how wild was that moment?
I mean, just I got to rewatch it quite a bit, and I mean, I'll open up my Twitter and still see it to this day. So, or X, whatever it's called. but yeah, just I heard my walk-up song. I heard the singing the first time they played it, and then they had the mound visit, and then everything after that is kind of just a blur. You know, you want to. We were up 3-0 at the time, and you know, in the playoffs, you want to add on, and just getting back to where we were the year before. We knew the Braves were waiting for us, and I really just wanted to get something in the air and stay out of a double play and kind of tack on a run at the very minimum, and got a pitch that I could hit another ball. But like I said, I could reach it, and I told Kevin I was going to sell out for a first pitch fastball, and yeah, he threw it. And then around the bases was still a blur, and then kind of getting back to the dugout was awesome. Everyone just so happy, and yeah, rewatching the video really, really helped. So I was able to kind of feel it also.
That's awesome. And isn't it pretty funny? You're here at spring training. I hear the fans up there. They're kind of humming or singing your walk-up music. I mean, that's kind of created a vibe, right?
Yeah, it's not going anywhere, that's for sure. yeah, it's, like I said last year, I didn't ever pick that song thinking it was going to be this, but I guess the song comes with me now. So, I mean, even at home in Vegas, I would hear random people saying it on the golf course. They'd play it in their speakers, and yeah, it's kind of all over. So,
gives you a good vibe. How about Dancing on My Own? Is it still going to be back in the clubhouse?
I don't think so.
No? But you guys said that last year.
Yeah, we did say that last year, but we did stink at the beginning. We kept saying second place is better than last place what we were in, but I don't know. If we find something new that's just as catchy, I think we'll change it, but we'll see what our DJ has to say about that.
Yeah, so. And it's got to be right. Like, I know you guys wanted to find another one, but it's got to be right.
Yeah, can't force it, but
yeah,
see what our DJs have to say.
Yeah. And a couple final questions. Kyle Schwarber, such a great leader. I was reading about how he has kind of met each player on their level or found something that you guys really like. I think he went to some wild place with Nick Castellanos, like a psychedelic place. Has he connected with you in a certain way? And what makes him so special as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, we play ping pong all the time. Ping pong or golf or anything. He's just as competitive on the baseball field as he is doing anything. So I think just him having, wouldn't say 10 personalities, but he could be loud and obnoxious with me and Marsh, and then he could tone it down when he's talking to JT or Bryce or someone like that. But just him kind of being able to fit in with everybody is huge, and nobody's ever afraid to go talk to him, and he's not afraid to go up and talk to you. And even the Latin players he gets along with, and I think that's what's so special about our whole clubhouse. We all mesh, and it's the Latin guys aren't going to dinner with the Latin guys, and we're not going to dinner with each other. It's everybody comes with us, and I think it's a really fun clubhouse to be a part of, especially with how close it is, and there's no cliques at all, and I think that's what makes a clubhouse special.
And I've seen teams in all sports where maybe guys just leave right away. They don't get along. Is that really a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, we're with each other for 8 months out of the season, so you better like each other. But I think that's not an issue with this group. And I mean, guys hang out with each other in the off season, and like the team dinners are our team dinners. It's 26 guys going out to eat, and I don't think you see that very often. Just being able to everybody connect and kind of be on the same wavelength is huge. And yeah, it's just, I don't know if I'd want to be a part of a different clubhouse. It's just a special group in there.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Best of success this year.
Thank you.
All right. We are joined by Taiwan Walker. Appreciate you joining us. And you're going into year two with the Phillies.
Yeah.
Is there more of a comfort level coming down here this year after having the experience of year one?
Yeah, definitely. Especially coming in last year with WBC, you know, I didn't get to spend all spring with my new teammates and stuff, but, you know, the bond that we have, that we all grew together last year, coming in spring, you know, everyone's happy, everyone's joking around. It's that comfort level is nice.
And how about that? Last year, a lot of guys went to the WBC. Mm-hmm. Bryce wasn't here for the beginning, and yeah. So he missed a month and a half of the season. How good is it that everybody's kind of together, will be together, and then you're going to start out the season together and out of the gate?
No, it's great, especially when everyone's healthy and you're starting out the gate like that. Obviously, it gives us confidence that everyone's healthy, everyone's happy, you know, and we're hungry to get going again.
Yeah, how about last year, the way it ended?
Yeah.
Is there such a hunger because of how close you guys were?
Yeah, I mean, obviously for us, it was heartbreaking, especially if we got two chances at home when we were so good at home in the playoffs. For us, obviously, you know, we got the best fans in baseball. You know, they show up for us, and, you know, for us not completing our job, especially at home, it hurts us. But, you know, I think we're ready to get back after it again.
What did you think of your first year in Philly?
A lot of up and down. The positives, I was able to make over 30 starts, you know, get some good quality innings when I did. But a lot of inconsistencies and some things I need to work on. But overall, I thought it was decent, good, you know, not great, not bad, but just average.
And have we seen the best of you in Philly?
I don't think so. I mean, I think there was a period I had last year during the season, but my goal is to have that period last all year.
How much did you learn working with Caleb? And do you think you'll be better for it and more chemistry with him going into year two?
Yeah, definitely. Especially having an off-season, full off-season with him, be able to talk about things. And, you know, not only Caleb too, but with JT and all the other Wills, Knowles, you know, everyone. You know, we're able to talk through so many different things, how we set up hitters and whatnot. But, you know, having Caleb for sure, I'm excited, you know, working on maybe a harder curveball this spring, maybe tinkering with the splitter a little bit. So the good thing about Caleb is he's so open to anything. Let's try it. If it doesn't work, you know, we'll go back to what we're doing.
We saw you get into a groove there, and you had a great stretch. What did you find during that stretch that made you so successful?
I think it all started with my velo. My velo was where it usually is or has been in the past, and I think everything plays off that. I think when I'm 94, 96, my splitter plays up, the cutter, the slider, everything just plays up a little bit more, and I just was inconsistent with my velo last year.
Do you think there was any reason for that? I mean, you were in the World Baseball Classic. There were a lot of things going on, new team.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a lot of different things. You know, I don't know. You know, I can't, like, really pinpoint. You know, there were stretches where I felt really good, so good. You know, bullpen felt good, and I get in the game. I look up, it's 91. You know, I'm like, okay, well, why? So I don't know, but, you know, this year came in a little bit, you know, put a little bit more muscle on, came in a little heavier this year. Stronger, definitely stronger. So I'm excited to see what that takes me.
What did you learn being around Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Ranger Suarez? What did you take from them?
Let's see. We'll start with Zach. I mean, with Zach, he's just 97 effort, no effort, just nice and easy. But people, I think, forget how good he actually really is. He's got great breaking stuff. His fastball's obviously live, but he's just his composure out there is so calm. So even just watching that, you can learn a lot just from watching him on the mound. Doesn't speed up or nothing. Knowles, obviously, great, you know, really good. Got paid. You know, I think he deserved every single penny of it, too. And I think he's only going to get better. And a Ranger, I mean, that dude, he's a freak athlete. One, I mean, you see him on the mound. But the coolest thing about him is just he catches the ground ball. He's walking to the dugout, not even looking at first, and just flips over out. So, yeah, Mr. Automatic over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they talk about Ranger and those guys having no heartbeat.
Yeah.
Are you that way or do you get amped up? Are you kind of up and down emotionally?
I can have moments where I get up and get pretty high. You know, maybe something I need to work on, you know, letting some things that are out of my control affect the way I pitch. But again, that's, you know, I can pick, you know, Ranger, Nolas, and Wheeler's brain on that and just, you know, kind of talk to them. Hey, what do you guys think about, you know, what are you focusing on? Someone does something out of your control. What do? You know?
So when you decided to sign with the Phillies,
yeah,
is there something that stands out in your mind that is different than what you thought it was going to be like, or something that's even better that you didn't even realize when you signed here?
When I signed, one of the first things I was excited about was to throw to JT, obviously the best catcher in the game in my eyes. I think a lot of guys' eyes, but just the team chemistry. Obviously, I was with the Mets 2 years before, and just facing the lineup, it was brutal facing them. You know, it's not an easy out anywhere in the lineup, and so to be on the right side of it was nice. And knowing too, like, hey, if I give up, you know, early 2-3 runs, my offense is going to put up 6-7-8 runs, you know, so it's always good to have that confidence. But yeah, I mean, just the chemistry alone, I think, was the biggest thing.
And you've mentioned working with JT a couple times.
Yeah.
Just how into it is he studying the pitchers and having something ready to go for you when you're having a start?
Yeah, I mean, he makes our job way easier. All we got to do is go out there and let him put his fingers down, and we just, you know, everyone's so confident in him. The work he puts in, you know, he's a great hitter, but he also puts twice as much work in as making sure that us pitchers are ready to go.
Yeah. And for you, Philadelphia and Citizens Bank Park,
yeah,
having pitched in the ballpark against the Phillies, but now experiencing the playoffs, yeah. I remember, like, I saw your eyes a couple times, and you're like, wow, how impressive was it?
I mean, there's so many special moments that we had. I mean, the biggest thing was, I thought it was super cool, Wednesday day game, random day game, 40,000 fans. Like, you don't see that very much anywhere in the stadiums. But that was cool. But the coolest moment, and I saw a video a couple weeks ago, was Bryson Stott's Grand Slam, you know, the fans chant his walk-off song in the first pitch Grand Slam, and how electric that was. But it was all playoffs, you know. They didn't give up. And so a lot of people remind me of WBC, you know, which is from pitch one to the last pitch.
Yeah. Does that really get the adrenaline going when you have the fans?
100%. There? Yeah, you get your goosebumps, get the chills going. Like, it gets you amped up, gets you ready to play. Like, you want to go run through a wall for them.
Yeah. Now, do you have a little chip on your shoulder, the fact that you weren't able to pitch in the biggest moments in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to be a part of the team's success in the playoffs. You know, I felt like, you know, we win the whole thing and I don't pitch. You know, I feel like I didn't really contribute anything. And, you know, I definitely want to pitch in the playoffs. I, you know, felt ready to pitch in the playoffs. And for whatever reason, I didn't. It's in the past. It is what it is. And I get better this year and, you know, give them no reason not to pitch me in the playoffs.
You know, when you're working out in the off season, or maybe there's a day where you're just like, man, I can't get going today. Does that stick in your mind? Like, I want to make sure the manager has to put me in and knows that I'm the best guy for this job.
100%. You know, I really want them, everyone, to have the confidence in me to be like, okay, hey, Ty Stone, game 2, 3, or 4, whatever game it is. And we know, okay, we're going to win this game today.
Yeah.
You know, Ty's going to close it out for us, you know, game 4, whatever it might be. So.
You sent out a tweet about wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Is everything cool with you and Rob Thompson?
Everything's great. Yeah. Listen, I'm super competitor. I have one playoff inning under my belt, and it wasn't good. And I've been sitting on it since 2017. So, but yeah, everything's great with us. We talked a lot, you know, in the offseason and stuff. So, you know, it was just in the moment type thing. You know, I was frustrated. But after that, you move on and, you know, get ready for next year.
And you want to be out there in the biggest moments.
Who doesn't, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, final question for you. Is there anything you want to say to Philadelphia about what they saw from you this year, maybe what they'll see this year in the second year with you in town?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go out there every start, give it my all, make as many starts as possible, and, you know, hopefully carry us, you know, to playoffs or World Series, and you can win the whole thing.
All right. Yeah. That's a plan.
Yep.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, of course. Oh, I'm so flagrant.